Welcome to the Heal Here podcast. I'm your host, Kate Flick, aka Oracle Lightworker. I'm a Holy Fire 3 Karuna Reiki Master Teacher and Akashic Records Reader. I also happen to be a Gemini, don't judge, a 5-1 emotional manifester and empowered empath. I am literally obsessed with helping you heal and showing you that you are your own best healer. Join me here where we will explore different techniques and modalities and where I will share personal experiences and channel guidance to help support you as you move along the spiritual and healing path. I am so glad you're here. Everybody, welcome to the Heal Here podcast. This is Kate Flick with a little Maggie Rogers on the side. And yes, I know the song has been sung here before, and this is becoming a common theme the last 2 weeks because I'm pretty sure Brittany, Hit Me Baby One More Time, I am sure that came through before. And no one has let me know otherwise, so maybe, I don't know, maybe she hasn't. Maybe that was the first time. But I know for sure that Maggie Rogers and this song, That's Where I Am, did come through before. And that was actually not through me coming into my awareness. It was because one of my guests, the amazing Jess Dickey, she had chosen this song. This was a song that she chose for a spiritual karaoke before our interview. So it's interesting because this song came through to me last night. I was laying in bed. This is not a song that ever is playing in my head usually. It came into my awareness and I just heard, like, this is the song for spiritual karaoke for this week's episode. And that I usually don't get this song until, you know, right before I sit down or literally when I put on these headphones I have on and just sit here for a moment. Sometimes I open the Akashic Records and wait for it to come through, but it is very rare. It might have happened once before, can't remember, but it's very rare that the song comes through the night before. And the way my memory is, like, I've actually feel like I've had that before. Come to think of it, I think I have had a song come into my awareness like the day before, and it was just like, okay, I feel like the song is meant to be spiritual karaoke. And then when I sit down to record, I have no idea what that song was. And maybe that is because in that moment it was right. And then the plan shifted for what I was supposed to talk about. Who really knows? And if you are new here, that poor singing I did is spiritual karaoke. Spirit likes to work through songs and lyrics to give me messages, to give my listeners messages. And I'm usually presented with a song every week to share, and there's usually some guidance through the lyrics. So if this is your first episode, I am not just singing here because I think I can sing, because I know I can't, but I am just doing spirit's work here. What does that sound like, Reba McEntire? Like, single mom who works two jobs. That's what I'm doing right now. Single mom who works two jobs, singing karaoke badly. Okay, this doesn't even make sense. Okay, back to what I was talking about. Jess Dickey had chosen this song, and it was before our podcast interview. And then last night I heard this song, and I sat down today to record. And I was like, oh my gosh, what was that song that came into my awareness? And I sat here for a second. I'm like, I have no idea. And then the next thing I knew, Maggie Rogers came into my awareness. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was Maggie Rogers' song. But I don't even know what, at that moment, I couldn't even remember that it was the song that I just sang. Like, it was, I was like, I know it's Maggie Rogers, but I wasn't playing that song. And it was in my head last night. It was playing the chorus, "It All Works Out in the End." But that wasn't even coming into my awareness today. So I sat here and I'm like, okay, I feel like that song is supposed to be the song. So I went into Spotify and it wasn't wasn't coming into my awareness. And then it just, the lyrics started to pour in. And I was like, oh, okay. And yeah, so what is coming up for me with this song, why it's being presented to us, I think it's a few things. I think just the message of it all works out in the end. A lot of people, as I've mentioned, the last number of episodes are going through it, okay, are really feeling challenged right now. And things may feel very unpredictable, very chaotic in your life. And this is your sign that it is going to work out in the end. Everything's going to be okay. This is a sign of support from your spiritual team, from your guides, from your angels. Like, they want you to know today that it's all working out, okay? And it may not feel like it right now. It may feel quite the opposite, but they are just reminding you that you are so supported and you are protected, and there are things going on behind the scenes that you are not aware of, okay? There are like things, the universe is conspiring in your favor, and you may not see evidence of it yet, but it doesn't mean it's not happening. And this is a sign for you to just keep the faith, okay? And to surrender. And when I was looking this song up, because sometimes I'm guided to look it up and look at the lyrics, and I believe it said that this song is from the album entitled Surrender, and that Maggie wrote it during a very unpredictable period in her life, like a chaotic time in her life. And we're all being called to surrender. I know I am. And it is so easy in principle, but to live in surrender, to live and have faith and make decisions and just navigate your life through surrender. And we talked about the other episode, it's not throwing in the towel, okay? This is something much different. This is more empowered when you surrender. It's a conscious decision that you make every day to live in surrender, trusting and knowing that everything that's happening is for your soul's growth and evolution, and that you may not see it today, but someday in the near future, you will see why things had to happen this way. And if you are going through a painful time, it's going to be hard to even imagine that you will understand, you know, why these things had to happen the way they did, but they did. I'm hearing they had to happen this way. So there's another lyric here that's coming through, and there's some guidance here for some people. It's not going to resonate with everybody, but it's boulders turn into sand. Wherever you go, that's where I am. And what I'm hearing is there's a lot of things happening with relationships, okay? It could be romantic and friend relationships, family relationships. Like, I'm hearing soulmate relationships. And even some twin flame stuff, like, I do not resonate with twin, like, I've never really resonated with anything twin flame. And if anybody wanted to have a session with me and have a focus on twin flames, I would direct them to someone else. I actually don't know. I've said it to somebody before. I didn't have anybody to direct them to specifically, but it's just not, I don't know, not something that's ever really resonated with me, the twin flame journey. That being said, I am hearing the words twin flame right now, and I'm hearing soulmate contracts. And our soulmates can be, you know, our family members, a best friend, a romantic partnership. Like, a lot of people think like soulmate is just romantic, and that's not the case. And right now I'm hearing like just that there are dynamics shifting within soul families. People assuming new roles within soul families, and that's creating disruption, okay, within your relationships, because people are like, I'm seeing some people are, it's hard to explain what I'm seeing here. It's like some people are energetically upgrading at a faster pace, and others are like resistant to it in some way. And so it's almost causing this friction within certain relationships. And so if you're having issues in relationships right now, it doesn't necessarily mean that some of these relationships have to end. I'm just hearing that there may be a reorganization that needs to occur. People are shifting into different roles and new ways of being and new ways of doing. And when that happens, it's like they're just showing me, they're showing me something from like an office where people, it's like they have, is this in politics where there's like a cabinet shuffle? What does that even mean? I'm just seeing people assuming new roles, people being shuffled around, and it's like a reorganization has to occur, and that's going to feel out of balance for a period of time. It's going to feel jumbled, and probably there's going to be some stress as people are adjusting to new roles. And I'm hearing that could mean like you've started to set boundaries, or, you know, like people are moving out of codependent relationships. And yeah, just again, that goes hand in hand with boundaries usually. But I'm just seeing this reorganization within relationships and people taking on new roles. And I'm hearing that, you know, allow the dust to settle. Like some of these relationships just need a little time to adjust to these new roles. And I'm seeing other, you know, there are some relationships that may not be able to exist after this quote unquote cabinet shuffle. Okay. That people are not going to be happy in their new roles, and they're just not going to be happy. And that may happen, but for some people here, I'm seeing that it may feel like some of these relationships have to end, but just allow the dust to settle, allow the dust to settle and be open to these relationships growing and changing, evolving, and people just operating in different ways, showing up in different ways. And that's needed. I'm hearing this cabinet shuffle. I don't know why they're giving me the cabinet shuffle, but they're showing me it had to happen. Things couldn't keep going. And they're showing me it's like with the new energies, you know, you do a cabinet shuffle, people are shuffling their roles, people are stepping into their power, into new ways of being and doing. And that is the way that you can preserve these relationships. Like there had to be this shuffle, had to occur. And if, you know, over time people don't adjust to their new roles, then, you know, some of these relationships may need to be terminated. I don't know, the word terminated is a little bit harsh, but maybe they're using the word terminated because they're on a roll here with the cabinet shuffle. Maybe that's a word that coincides with cabinet shuffles in politics. I do not know. I am just a messenger here. The other thing that's coming through around like the soulmate contracts and maybe like twin flame things, it's like I had said this before, but boulders turn into sand wherever you go. That's where I am. Like what I am hearing is like boulders turn into sand. It's like that is showing a very, very long, like depicting a very long period of time. Okay. And what I'm hearing is that some of these relationships you've been together in like over many, many lifetimes. Okay. You have been with some of these people for many, many lifetimes. And it's like, wherever you go, that's where I am. It's like, they're showing me that these are these people in your soul family that like, it doesn't matter where you go, like wherever you go, like next lifetime, guess what? That's where I'm going to be. If I'm in your soul family, like you're going to be rejoining with these people in, you know, you've been with them in your past lives, and you will continue to reincarnate with them in different capacities. Okay. With taking on different roles. And that's what I'm hearing. They keep bringing into my awareness the idea of these roles and showing me the shifting of roles. And, you know, you could be a mother in this lifetime, you know, obviously to your child. And then, you know, in your next lifetime, your child could be your parent. Okay. And this, you know, you could have already been the child of your child in past lifetimes. An example of this is one of my daughters was my mother in a past lifetime. And it's so obvious. Like it feels so obvious to me. And she has difficulty, you know, I feel like sometimes of me being in the mother role, because it feels like kind of conflicting to her soul at times, because she wants to lead. Okay. She, and, you know, many kids want to lead. We should allow our kids to lead, but like, she does not like, to be told things by me. And if I feel like it's coming from her being my mom in a past lifetime, it feels wrong to her. And we've talked about this before and it resonates with her deeply. She gets it, but I've said to her, you know, and I allow her to take the lead with regards to most things in her life, but there are some things as a parent, like, I need to guide her and lead her as a parent. And we've had conversations about this, that she's in resistance to that by times. And I know all kids may resist their parents, but this is hard to explain. Like, we both know that this is the case, that she was my mom in a past lifetime. And I just have to say sometimes, like, I know that this may feel hard for you, but you, like, there is some life guidance. Like, in this incarnation, I've lived more life than you. And I also, you know, so in terms of keeping her safe and boundaries and things like that, but at the same time, I'm very open to her wisdom and guidance. Like, she teaches me so much. And that's the thing. Kids, like, children are our greatest teachers, I believe. Like, some of our greatest teachers. And that's why it's important to get out of the mindset of the hierarchy and the parent as authoritarian. Like, yes, parents have to have some limits and boundaries, of course. Like, I'm very much a proponent of limits and boundaries, but we also have to be very open to the guidance and, you know, the wisdom that our kids can share with us and impart on us. And both my daughters have taught me so much. And the daughter that, and I don't know, my other daughter, perhaps she was my mother in a past lifetime as well. Like, that's never really come up before. It's not anything I've actually even inquired about when I was, you know, doing the spiritual work, but it just became very obvious with my other daughter, and is something that we've talked about. And she'll sometimes say to me, well, you know, like, I was your mother. And I'm like, I know, but we're in this lifetime. You can't use that. Okay. I know this is hard for you, but we're in this lifetime. So there are some things you have to listen to me in terms of guidance and keeping you safe and alive. So yeah, it's interesting when we look at some of these relationships and consider the different roles that we have in this lifetime, and potentially the different roles that members of our soul family have occupied in past lifetimes. So, yes, Maggie Rogers telling us lots about what may be happening in our relationships. And I'm getting something else come through, and I think it's not necessarily, I think it's for like one or two people, maybe not everybody, but I'm seeing a particular romantic relationship. Like, it's almost like, it's like there's this chemistry, sexual tension. Like, it's, I don't know if this is a twin flame thing, but I'm seeing these people who, it's like you both know you're supposed to be together, but like, there are these circumstances that are keeping you apart. And I feel like one person is afraid and is like almost ghosting the other person. And it feels like this is, yeah, a soulmate relationship, or I don't know, maybe twin flame. I don't know. But the one person, like, it's like you can both feel it on an energetic level. Like, there's so much energetic resonance, but like the trauma and conditioning, especially for one person, is making them very afraid to connect. And it's like they're being emotionally unavailable. And yeah, so if you are going through this right now where you feel like you're meant to be with someone, and you feel kind of shut out by them. And it's like you both have like recognized that there is some type of connection there, but then this person is almost like, I just see them like ghosting you, and you're like, it's devastating when you have this energetic resonance and it's like soul recognition is what I'm hearing. And then this other person is afraid. I guess your message is it all works out in the end. And I'm just seeing, it's like whoever this person is, it's like I'm seeing you with this person in all these other lifetimes. And it's like seeing you, yeah, just like there is that energetic resonance because your souls have been together in all these lifetimes. And I guess this is a sign that what you're feeling is true. Yes, this isn't imagined. And maybe you're an unlikely couple, like an unlikely pair in society's eyes. But it doesn't matter. It's a soul recognition. And so I don't know if there's guidance for what's going to happen here. What do I need to tell these people if they're going through this? Let me take a second here. Well, what I'm hearing is, well, Maggie Rogers reiterating it all works out in the end. But if you are the person who is the waiting person, the person who is ready to invest in this relationship and the other person is being emotionally unavailable, I'm hearing you need to direct your energy inwards to self-love. And they're saying, yes, we know like self-love is just, it can be so just like overused, the term self-love, and people talk about it, but they're like, and you can say, yes, I'm going to focus on self-love. And they're like, but do you really, are you really focusing on self-love? Okay. And they're saying self-love is, they're just showing me so many layers to self-love, and that involves shadow work is coming up, and just recognizing you need to be able to recognize those shadow parts of yourself to fully, truly love all parts of yourself. And they're saying self-love is just not like, oh, treat yourself to a massage and like look at yourself in the mirror and love, like say positive affirmations. Like they're not saying that that's bad. Those are good things to do, but they're saying it's like true self-love is much deeper, and it can be challenging and a painful process to go through to fully love yourself on all levels. And for some people, this is what this relationship, they're saying like our relationships are our greatest teachers, right? And the reason, like what this relationship is showing you in this lifetime is actually your focus is outward right now. It's on the external, and your focus is on this person. And how can you, you know, you feel the energetic pull, you want to be with them. What can you do to be with them? Maybe even how can I mold myself to make myself like attractive to them? And they're just like, this is not what this relationship is showing you. This relationship is meant for you to do the opposite. Okay. Like your focus is external. This relationship is meant to make you go deeper within, okay, to connect with your authentic self and love yourself on all levels. And then I don't know what I'm hearing is, and at that point you won't be, it's almost like I'm seeing almost like an obsession, obsessive like feeling of like limerence, like that like yearning and infatuation, like longing for this person. And they're saying that once you really love yourself, that will subside, and like maybe you will come together. And if you do, it will be, you will be empowered in this relationship. Okay. And they're saying they're showing me, again, this is very specific for some people. I don't know. Let me know if it resonates. And for anybody else, maybe it'll resonate with you another day. So put it in your back pocket. Or as my grandfather would say, put it in your pipe and smoke it. I think that's what he'd say. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. But they're saying that once you do that work on yourself and come to that place of self-love and self-acceptance and like worthiness, like there won't be that yearning and that longing for the person. They won't have your your whole focus because they don't complete you. You complete you and they will compliment you, and you might be open to having a beautiful relationship with them, but it's coming from an empowered place. Like right now you're not coming from an empowered place. So yes. Anyhow, let me know if that resonates. That's for someone. And I'm seeing we're at 25 minutes here. So my plan for today was going to be kind of a part two on the adult children of emotionally immature parents. And I wanted to get into the four different types of emotionally immature parents. And I'm realizing with my crazy schedule today, I am not going to get to that. So, and you know what? Next week is the May, how is this possible? The May energetic forecast. So I think we're going to have to do the part two for the adult children of emotionally immature parents in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned. It's probably going to be a three-part series that's going to be sprinkled. It's going to be released whenever it's meant to be released, I guess. But before I go, there is something else that's coming to my awareness around the lyrics. Now I know why this song is coming to my awareness again. The lyrics, boulders turn into sand, okay? And that's like demonstrating the passage of time. And it's interesting. I've been listening to an audiobook. This is my first audiobook, okay? I'm a podcast person. I think podcasts because they're bite-sized, and for the old ADHD brain, I think that's pretty digestible. And it's like, I think I can equate podcasts are like watching shows to me. And audiobooks are like movies. And you know how I do with movies. I don't. They're too long. But you know what? This audiobook has chapters, so that makes it not as overwhelming. So it's called, I gotta look it up here. It's called Waking Up in 5D. I just gotta look up who the author is. I know her last name is Saint Germain. Okay, where are you? Anyhow, it's a really good book. And what's coming in my awareness is I just need to talk about this quickly, is about time and subscribing to time. Like, we, you know, you've heard this before, and I find this really hard to conceptualize and like understand, is that time is not linear, okay? That everything is happening at the same time. And that's hard to like wrap your head around, okay? But she talks about this, and that, you know, we've been conditioned to believe that time is linear, and there's so many things that we do that keep us trapped in that time space continuum, I guess. Is that what it's called? Okay, I'm trying to find, where are you, book? I'm trying to find, I only have one. Oh yeah, Waking Up in 5D. It's Maureen St. Germain. Okay, I'm really enjoying it. What chapter am I on here? I'm on chapter 7. Halfway through chapter 7. So I was listening recently to her, it must have been chapter 7, maybe chapter 6, but she was talking about time, and she was saying how important it was to unsubscribe from society's, construct of time. And she said you can do, like, she gave examples of ways that you can do this. And this is something I'm going to struggle with. I will tell you that. She said, like, don't have your morning coffee. And I was like, what the heck? I know mine's matcha, but still, I'm like, I look forward to that freaking morning matcha every day. And it's like, maybe don't have it at all, or have it later in the day. But like these rituals, and I love rituals. So she said, you know, this is a very five, like, for us to wake up in 5D and operate in the fifth dimension, we need to start playing with time. And like, we can stretch time. Anyhow, she said, so don't have that rigid schedule where you're drinking your morning coffee all the time. She said, don't follow the weather, okay? Because that's keeping you in tracking, you know, the days and like looking at what is coming. You know, people who are very attached to knowing the weather. And guess what? Guilty again as charged. I'm totally like a freaking senior citizen who loves to like know the weather, talk about the weather. So I have a lot of work to do here. She also said, don't set alarms. And she gave an example about how she, I think she went on like a speaking tour and she had all these like speaking events, like a lot of them. And she didn't set the alarm for any of them. And she never missed one. Like she talked about one occasion and like she had planes to catch, go all over the place, never missed a plane except for one time. She had a 6 a.m. plane or flight, sorry. And she woke up at 6 a.m. on the dot and she kind of sat up in her bed and then drove like half an hour to the airport, got there at 6:30. The plane was set to leave at 6, and you know, you have to get there early. And the person working for the airline said, oh, the plane has actually been, the plane, why do I keep saying the plane? The plane. The flight has been canceled. Your flight has been canceled. And they canceled it last night and we're going to have to rebook you on another flight. And she had said, like, what she does is if she has to be up at a certain time, she asks Archangel Michael and her angels and guides, like, to be sure that she is awake with more than enough time to get to whatever she's doing. And that particular night that she said that kind of prayer, she had not been aware of the time and then realized, you know, she had finished. She was like, was into, I think, coloring or doing some artwork thing and then was enjoying herself. And then I don't know how she realized what time it was, because that's another suggestion. Don't wear a watch. And she was like, oh, it's 2 o'clock and I have to be at the airport for 6. Okay, I'm going to go to bed. So she went right to bed. And anyhow, what she figures is that she was able to get that much more sleep, because if she had have set her alarm and done all the things, she would have barely had any sleep because she went to bed at 2 o'clock, but she asked her angels and guides and she got up at 6 and then got there and then was able to rebook her flight once she got to the airport because her flight was actually changed. Anyhow, that takes a lot of surrender and faith. And I don't know. Anyway, I don't know that I'm there yet in not setting an alarm, because it's like, my biggest fear is being, you know, missing things, being late for things, because I have been late. You know, if you have ADHD, you have a really skewed sense of time. I always think I have more time to get to places and do things than I do. And so I always underestimate the amount of time it's going to take me to get someplace or to do some type of task. So this will be a challenge for me, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, she said, don't wear a watch. She also said, do not, like these major events, like sporting events, like the Super Bowl or, you know, these big sporting events where everybody's tuning in at a particular time. It's like, kind of like, she didn't use the word hijacking our mass consciousness, but it's like, I don't know, we're allowing our mass consciousness to be focused on this one thing everybody's doing. And she said you should try to avoid that. And it's actually so interesting, because with the eclipse that we just had, the solar eclipse, where I lived, there's a lot of talk about it, probably where you live too. And everybody talking about, you know, school was out early, all those things. And I saw somebody online mention that she was not going to be watching the eclipse. And she said, when everyone is kind of being conditioned to do the same thing, like look at the sky at the same time, do something, you know, everybody should do this, she likes to do the opposite. I was like, that's interesting. And so she said she wouldn't be watching the eclipse, and that kind of resonated with me. And so I didn't watch the eclipse. And I will admit, I had some FOMO, like people are all talking about it and just saying like how amazing it was, and they cried and all these things. It was just amazing experience, but I really felt called to do the opposite, and that resonated with me, and I did that. And I feel like reading this book, it was a confirmation. It's just like when everybody's doing something and being told to, you know, watch this at this time, like don't, like do the opposite, don't do it. But I definitely need to, I don't know what I'm going to do. I love the Super Bowl, and you know, I love me some women's basketball. So what the heck? Okay, come on guys, come on. Like, spiritual team. Like, what's a girl's got to have some fun in this freaking 3D existence. And I guess that's what it is, 3D existence. If you're trying to shift into the 5D, are you telling me I got to give up my Caitlin Clark? Because I don't know that I'm ready for that. I don't know. 5D. I think in the five, Caitlin Clark can exist in the fifth dimension. I think she's from the freaking, I don't know what dimension she's from, but it's definitely a higher dimension. She's not human. Let's be honest here. She's not human. Okay. Oh, another thing about time. This is turning into the most random podcast with all these random little topics that were not planned out. But I learned that Archangel Metatron is wonderful to help you stretch time. And so when I was working on my Akashic Records course, The Bridge, 5D Ascension Akashic Records training, and when I was working to create my Reiki, Holy Fire Reiki Master course, like I did all these things at the same time and I sold spots for all these things and I didn't have them created yet. And that's what my business coach would, that's what she does. That's what, you know, when you have the energy behind something, you need to release it. And the old Kate, I always would get the idea, I would finish everything and then I would sell it. That is apparently what you're not supposed to do. So I sold it and it was a fabulous launch for both of them. And then I was like, oh my gosh, now I'm stressed. Like now I have to create these things in a very limited amount of time. Well, I had some time. I had a good chunk of time. Then the holidays came and you know how it goes. So I learned in this time, I started to work more closely with Archangel Metatron and learn more about him and learn that he can help you stretch time. So I started working with him and asking him to help me stretch time because I had so much that I had to do and I had to meet a deadline. And I was amazed, like what I accomplished in the time that I had sort of blows my mind because there's a lot of things that I had to do and it's just me in this business. There's no one else. And I got it all done. And I do feel like Archangel Metatron helped me stretch time. He can also help you just call upon him, okay? Just like any angel guide, like they respect free will. So you have to ask them for support and be specific. Like if you need to be somewhere and you need to get there on time, like ask Metatron to help you stretch time and help you get to where you need to go in a timely fashion, okay? He can support you in that way. So that was really cool experience for me, feeling that support when I was creating my courses. And speaking of courses, I have a Reiki level 1 and 2, and that is, it is supposed to be set for May 6th and 7th, but I experimented with putting it on back-to-back Mondays, and I actually have no one who signed up. So this is my first time doing it on a weekday. So I guess that might be a sign. So I don't know if that will be a go or not. I may have to try to get it on a weekend, but I have so many basketball tournaments for my daughters that I will have to figure something out here. But tentatively now it is going May 6th and the 13th. It's a Monday. Who doesn't want to stay home from work on a Monday and become attuned to Reiki? I think that that's a perfect long weekend for you. Just my opinion. I am going to be releasing other courses coming up. As I said, there's a lot of stuff going on in my personal life right now. So things in my business have kind of been on hold and a bit unpredictable. But I do have plans for Animal Reiki, Karuna Reiki Master, and I'm going to offer The Bridge again. So just be sure that you're signed up to my newsletter. And if you sign up for the Inner Reiki Child Meditation, the free one, in the notes below, then you will automatically be signed up for my newsletter and you will always be notified when I'm launching different courses. So just be aware there will be courses. It looks pretty desolate on the old link tree right now, but there will be some new stuff releasing soon. So thank you for your patience. And I do plan on releasing a few openings for some one-to-one sessions. I'm just doing this sporadically, okay? And I haven't done it in a while, so probably 3 weeks. So I will open up a couple spots, I think, next week. And again, be sure that you're on my mailing list so that you will be notified. So I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And I look forward to connecting with you next week for the May Akashic Oracle Forecast. Where did April go? Let's be honest, April was long. Even though it feels fast that it's May, April with those eclipses, y'all, I'm kind of excited for May and I'm excited to see what is in store. So I will see you here next week. Same place, same-ish time. Bye.